We have moment this is really a passionate art, I think. I think that's where he's really going. He's got three basic tests: a doctrinal test, what do you believe? An ethical test, how do you live? And a relational test, who do you love? Now, I'm going to say that we never stop longing to be better people. Would that be right for you? Yes. We all want to be better people. This is good. Become more and more like him. Now, last week I said we're in the battle for truth. This week I want to say to you, the battle for your soul. The battle for your mind, your will, and your battle for your soul. John sees it by first telling you who you are. Well, he's talking to the people there, but it could be for us today, could it not? Yes. So here he is. In actual 2:29 is the first time he speaks about those who are born of God, and it's an expression he uses time and again throughout the remainder. He uses it in 3:9, 4:7, 5:1, 4 and 18. So uses it quite a number of times. It's a expression that is emphasizing and the Christian spiritual life is the redemptive work of God. We know that, don't we? That it's God. We could never save ourselves. As a result of this God working in our lives, we've been born again and can therefore be properly called God's children. Good. Always good to have an amen to those, or amen. As the Americans say, amen. We can be called children of God. And John is by this. And actually, I haven't come across one commentator that doesn't say this is an amazing. Think about how amazing this is. Have you got the amazement yet? The amazing thing is, I know me, and I'm trying. Some know you. Yeah? And you know you got dirty socks sometimes. Yes. We know some things in our life that need washed. So why would a person you? If you're going to discard anything, I'd be discarding me. The broken, cracked pot. It's just a fact, isn't it? So what is God doing? God is love. Now, please don't hear mushy, gooey love, that first love stuff. It's not. When I say God is love, God's intention is to do the absolute best for you. He is prepared to do something to save you from yourself and all that would lead you astray. And he's prepared to do more than what we can expect. Paul used a word, he said, we are sons of God. You could say inheritors or adopted into the family, grafted in. Yeah? It's a sort of legal term. In a different place, he's saying we're children of God. We are children of God. He's got a family and you child of God. There's no distinction, no originals and the great in or anything. You are a child of God. And this is, John is amazed by it all. God has done for us in all of this. Staggering. You get hold of it. Yes. We'll go back to that in a minute because there's a bit more to it. What we are. What manner is this love? The thing about it is we're unknown by the world. The world doesn't know us. It doesn't truly recognize and appreciate Jesus. And if we're followers of Jesus and we're doing that well, it can't know us either. So it's not always going to accept who we are. It's understandable. It's understandable that they don't know, because if the light hadn't come on for us, we'd be lost, wouldn't we? So to know that we are loved and honored by God, known and sometimes despised by the world, yeah, it comes at a cost. We pockets. We can't put our feet in two camps. As remember Bjelke Petersen? Yes. He said the man with either side, his leg either side of a barbed wire fence is in a dangerous place. We daren't do that. So what are we to be? What are we as children of God? It's not exactly clear, but it's better than where we are. It's almost as though it's beyond our comprehension. In general terms, we've been promised a new and spiritual body. Yeah, you know that, don't you? We've got a new informed differently. Energy matter will be informed differently and we'll take up a different shape. I don't know whether John is remembering when he stood on the Mount Transfiguration with Jesus and saw all of that happening, and he's thinking, this is the way things change. It's amazing. Or maybe he's looking at what God has been doing in the hearts of people. Maybe. But he says that when we see him, we'll be like him. I was talking about this day. The picture that came to my mind was this. I was thinking about when I work shift work, and I would do double shifts and things because we didn't have very much money. I was working in industry in a, what I thought was a technical job, but it was a labouring job, basically. And it wasn't until I went to go somewhere else I realised the skill was only appropriate for one place. Anyway, I was working there, and I hadn't seen my kids for a while. And then came this break, and I saw them. And I just had this great love for them, you know, and just wanted to give them a big hug and everything. But it was, they looked at me, and then when they did, all of a sudden their faces lit up and they just threw themselves into my arms. And I thought, that is possibly what it's like. Because I like to break things down internally. You know, it makes sense to me. Family. They look, I could see the love. And I think when we see what he sees, what he for us, we're going to be one picture. We'll be like Jesus. We'll bear him. And one of the journeys of the Christian is that we move to sanctification, to glory. Yes? And sanctified, to be sanctified is to be set apart. So we're more and more setting ourselves apart from some of those things of the world. When I talk about the world, I'm talking about things that would lead us astray, the values that do not follow the way of the Lord. I think that's the safest way to say it, because there are things in the world that we're set to enjoy, that we have stewardship over, that we have a responsibility for. So we be as children of God. We ought to be motivated by a hope. Everyone has a hope. The hope John's speaking about, of course, is this earnest expectation that we will be like Jesus when he comes. That's our hope. And we set our vision on that hope. We diligently involved in purifying our lives. And he speaks about purifying, to clean, to make clean, to sanctify. And it's closely related to the word for holiness. In when you write it out in Greek, it becomes quite poetic. Just the flow on, and you can see the logical links to it. Our words kind of don't make the same connections, but we're going to be properly motivated by this hope that Jesus will transform our bodies and into that glorious kingdom where we can live without blemish. Now, we're not going to get it right in this world, are we? So John goes on to then talk about sin and the children of God. He says that the true child of God purifies oneself because we see the hope of Jesus. And in that purifying, we need to look and say, well, what is it? It fits this theme. You know, John has been working with the emerging Gnostics. And the Gnostics believed that the body didn't matter. It was just all in this knowledge and things, this secret knowledge that they had. And so they said, well, I can do what I need to do or what I want to do and still believe. But John is saying, no, you can't do that. And so he starts by setting out. So I've put a few things in, is to miss the mark. So to mark, and not always to miss it altogether, but to miss the mark. We're headed, what's right at the center of the target for us? The bullseye, which is Jesus, to follow Jesus. That's our target, to follow Jesus. We can trespass. We can walk into place and we've just wandered over to it. The sun, it registers. How many people read all the signs? You ever get down the road and think, what was that speed limit? It always comes to mind like that when the blue light's flashing somewhere, doesn't it? To go beyond the limit, to actually push it, deliberate. And then down the bottom, I've got, there's a number of words, revolt, rebellion, defiance. And it sort of depicts several words. And sin in our lives, we miss the follow God, and if God is the measure, then following that path, when we get off it, we get lost. And what's the point then? What do? We get, we acknowledge our failing. That's the first thing, acknowledge our failing. I'm coming to that, so I better stick with my script, eh? So the origin of the devil. He was the one in the beginning who tempted. He's the one who has led people astray. But you make choices. And the direction your life will take. And you have that choice. So when you miss the mark by either doing what's forbidden, straight, that the influence of the, and sometimes it's very subtle. I think I mentioned it before. My mum was always reminding us that Satan was an angel of light. She said, temptation doesn't always look bad. We can always stick away from bad things. It's the good, tantalizing things. And in fact, do you know that there is such a thing as pushing goodness too far? We can go too far with it and that ends up wrong as well. You can see that with parents. Go back to my family images where they acknowledge one child in comparison to and what harm that does. People think they're doing good, but following the way that God leads us, not to say that we are brainless or anything, but to use that judgment and to actually put it there. That's why we need one another as well. It's a measure of things. That would take away the sin of the world. John. Consider what it costs to accomplish this purpose. I don't need that. But this is the most important thing. Every now and again, I try to share something with you is an anchor point. It's when we know our own sin, truly know our own sin, we can truly understand our salvation. It's only when we and know our own sin and confess it. And sometimes the most powerful thing is to speak it out. Now we need safe places to do that, don't we? To be able to speak out a sin, something that has taunted us. Sometimes we're caught in life in what I think the Bible refers to as bondages. Those things that pull us back. We've turned away from it, but then all of a sudden we're back in again. You know what that's like. The simple little things, I could use examples, but I don't want to single anyone out. But let's just take one example, like if your eyes stray and get you into trouble, then sometimes the best thing is not to walk past the shop front or wherever it is that your eyes stray, whether you're looking at clothing or looking at pictures or whatever you're looking at, you maybe ought to just go there. But sometimes you find yourself drawn straight back to it. Why? Why does that happen? Because there are things in our life that hook things up, and it's almost as though the evil one is tempting us back in through those patterns. We relax in the pattern, don't we? So how do we get our lives right? How do we know that we are children of God? What do we need to do with these things? Well, let me tell you. Not make perfect. You know that, don't you? Practice will never make perfect. Practice makes permanent. Yes? Practice makes permanent. Only practice of the right will get you to the right place. And how do we do that as Christians? What do we practice?
John 14:6,
which is? He is the way, truth, and the life. But one of the ways we need to do that is to be unified, to be part of home groups, to be part of elections, to have a prayer triplet or something that helps sustain us and guide us and take us to the place that God has for us. These are the things we with. Do you know your own sin? Have you genuinely God for your forgiveness by faith in Jesus and his love for you? Are you a child of God? Backsliding. Are you caught out by those bondages of the past? And what strategies do you have close to the Savior? One of the sayings in the prayer ministry is to keep short accounts with the Lord. Short accounts. Don't save them up. Catch yourself in. Say, Lord, that was wrong. Please forgive me. And you're on the journey. This is what it means to be a child of God. It doesn't mean that we're absolutely perfect. It means that we live as a promise. We live with a hope. We live with a Savior. We live with a grace. And we've got a journey. And we do it together. Yes? So let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you for the enthusiasm of John to call us children of God. May we live up to that expectation in Jesus' name. Amen.